morning, if you'll turn with us to the book of St. John, chapter 3, and you probably could quote this passage of Scripture. This is my first sermon in this new church. And I don't know, y'all, I almost feel like I'm in a different place here this morning, but we pray the Lord to help us to minister the Word of God to you this morning. You'll stand with us for the reading of the Word of God in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Perhaps we'll just quote it together. Can we do that? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we're so glad this morning for the privilege that we have to be together in God's house. Thankful for the mercies of the Lord to us in this past week. Thankful for the blessings of God on the services, for the messages that we heard, for the Word of God that penetrated our hearts and challenged our souls and made us hungry for more of God. Thank you, Lord, for the souls that prayed around these altars and received the help of God. We're thankful, Lord, this morning that we're privileged to be back here again to worship God, to receive from the Lord. And I pray that in this service this morning, you'd have your way in every heart, in every life. Souls would receive from God the grace that they stand in need of. We'll give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I would like to preach this morning for a few minutes by the help of the Lord on roadblocks on the road to hell. Can you see this in this passage of Scripture? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you think about that passage of Scripture, it's chock full of wonderful theology. First of all, it tells us there's a God. God so loved the world. It tells us that he has a Son, a unique Son, that God has a Son, a unique Son, his only begotten Son. A Son just like him. A Son with the same attributes he has. A Son who is the express image of the Father. God has a Son just like him. A unique Son. It tells us that the world is perishing. And this whole world of fallen men on their way to hell, perishing. It tells us that God sacrificed his Son, his unique Son. He sacrificed his unique Son to save that world from perishing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that phrase, everlasting life, sets off that word perishing. It's a contrast to that word perishing. For the contrast to everlasting life is everlasting punishment. That's what it means to perish, is to go into everlasting punishment. But this passage of Scripture lets us know that God is not willing to watch fallen man perish and suffer everlasting punishment and do nothing about it. God so loved us that he gave his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter, I believe it is, chapter 3 and verse 9, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing to watch souls go to hell and do nothing about it. He did something about it. He put up roadblocks on people's road to hell. There was a time when there was no such thing as hell in this universe. There was a time when the fires of hell did not burn. But the Bible tells us that hell was kindled by the rebellion of Satan and his angels. We read it in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Brother Mike read it to us in Matthew chapter 25, when the goats were sent into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It was the rebellion of Satan and his angels that lit the fires of hell. There was a time when there was no such thing as hell. This sets in stark relief the fact that there is a hell, the fact that men perish, that sets in stark relief the seriousness of sin and rebellion against God. God says that sin is so serious that it merits everlasting fire. That sin is so serious that it merits everlasting punishment. The Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Isn't it amazing that whole nations can forget God, but the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And I'd like to say to you this morning that we live in a nation that's forgetting God. I said we live in a nation that's forgetting God. And it's amazing how we affect one another. It's amazing how whole denominations can plunge into apostasy. It's amazing how whole nations can plunge into apostasy. We affect one another dramatically. And so whole nations forget God. You know, there are trends set in society, trends set in culture. The church gets caught up in the culture around them, gets caught up in the sins of the society. And every wicked thing outside the walls of the church soon finds its way inside the church. And the church soon becomes like the society around them. Jesus died so that he could sanctify that church. He died so that this church could be in the world, but not of the world. He died so that the church could serve the world, preach the gospel to the world, but be not of the world. And so we see whole nations plunging into hell because they forget God. Oh my, we need to pray for our nation. If we've ever prayed for our nation, we need to pray for our nation now. Sometimes we perhaps exaggerate the things that are happening in our nation, perhaps the bad things. Sometimes we may exaggerate those things. They may be exaggerated in our mind. But for sure, there is a trend being set in our nation that we can see over time, a trend toward ungodliness, a trend toward rebellion against God, a trend away from the Word of God. We see that trend, and we're far down the road, brother. And God already is judging this nation, and we're seeing tragedies happen to our country. My, this great storm that just swept in on America down in Texas and went across the Midwest, destroying property and lives. And these are just wake-up calls from God to let us know that God is not ignorant of what's going on in our nation. And God sees the trend in our country away from God and away from the Word of God. All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is eternal death. The wages of sin is eternal dying in the lake of fire, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. There is a contrast between the attitude of devils and the attitude of men toward hell. The devils understand where they're going. They know that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. The devils understand that this is their destination. The Bible tells us that when Jesus ministered on this earth, that devils begged Jesus, "Don't send us into the pit ahead of time." They understood that was their eventual destination, but they pleaded with Jesus not to send them into the pit ahead of time. The Bible says in the book of James, you believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. They understand that God has the power over them, and that their eternal destination is in the hands of an almighty God. And they believe, and they tremble. We ride on our cars and pickups, and no fear. And it really is a reflection of our attitude toward God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. But I'm telling you, brother, hell is a reality. And men are plunging into hell every day. And sin takes men to hell. I'm telling you that sin is so serious that it only takes one sin, unrepented of, unconfessed, to send you to hell. Just one sin is all it takes to send you to hell. Brother, I'm telling you, sin is a serious thing. And devils believe and tremble. We, as human beings, look at the Bible. We see the doctrine of hell. We see the doctrine of eternal punishment. And we dare to judge God. And we say, God cannot be a loving God and send men to hell. So we set ourselves up as the judge of Almighty God. But the truth is that this book is going to judge us. The truth is that God is going to be the final judge. And hell is a reality. The Bible tells us in the Word of God, Jesus taught us about hell. When you read the Old Testament, there are scriptures that indicate there's a hell. But when you get to the New Testament, Jesus makes it very clear that there is a place of everlasting fire. He makes it very clear that there's a place of torment. He makes it very clear that hell is a terrible place. And he says it would be better to cut off your hand. It would be better to cut off your foot. It would be better to pluck out your eye than to perish everlastingly in hell. Jesus believed in hell. He believed in the fires of hell. He believed that hell was a terrible place. And he warned us not to go to hell. This is the attitude of the Savior, the Son of God. You see men who are scorners, who take the teachings of Christ and the teachings of the Word of God and make fun of such serious things as the doctrine of hell. Hell is a laughing joke to the world. It's a word they toss around carelessly. You will hear hell used more often in a profane way than you will ever hear it in the house of God as a warning to souls. The world uses that word in a profane manner constantly, every day, and think nothing of the reality of hell. They don't think while they're using that word in a profane manner that really is the destiny of their soul. But brother, sometimes skeptics express great confidence that there is no such place as hell. But they've never been beyond death. They never have experienced what it is beyond the door of death. They can speak with great confidence about something they have no experience about. But I'm telling you, Jesus knows. I said the Son of God knows. He knows what's beyond the door of death. He knows what's beyond this life. He's thoroughly acquainted. He understands where souls go. And he warned us that there's a real place called hell. You may take your chances like the man that I talked to as a young man at the University of Georgia. Long hair, hippie man, and he challenged my faith in the Son of God and in the Bible. Said, I don't believe it. I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe there's a hell. I don't believe there's a heaven. And I talked with him a while and told him what the Word of God said. Finally, I looked at him and said, look, sir, let's suppose you're right and I'm wrong. And I'll believe this till I die. It won't matter that I'm wrong, but you suppose that I'm right you're wrong. And you live to die wrong. I tell you, there are consequences to that. He was startled when he thought about it. But I'm telling you, brother, you haven't been there. You may be a skeptic. You may deny it. But you've not been there. You can't testify firsthand that there's no hell. And the Bible says there is a hell. And Jesus said there is a hell. And Jesus said there is fire. I'm telling you, I'll believe the Son of God. And I'll accept what Jesus said. That there is a place of everlasting punishment for men and women who rebel against God and reject the Word of God. The Bible also tells us very clearly that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It does not please God when somebody puts off salvation too long, goes out into eternity lost without God, to perish everlastingly without God. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that he turn from his wicked ways and live, the Bible says. And so God puts roadblocks in our way, tries to turn us from our path toward destruction. The Bible tells us that there are two roads to walk on. There's a straight and narrow road that leads to everlasting life, and there is a broad road that leads to destruction. And you're either on one or the other. There's no middle ground. You're either on that narrow road that leads to everlasting life, or you're on that broad road that leads to eternal destruction. In order to get to hell, you have got to push over roadblocks that God has set in your way to keep you out of hell. Everybody that goes to hell over God's efforts to keep them out of hell. I'm telling you, in one way that you look at it, it's easy to go to hell. In another way that you look at it, it's hard to go to hell because Jesus is trying to keep you out of hell. Young folks, hear me this morning. The Lord loves you. He cares about your soul. He don't want you to go to hell. And he'll put roadblocks in your way to keep you from dying eternally. If there's sin in your life, don't be a scorner. Don't think you're going to miss hell just because you can take advantage of the grace of God. I'm telling you, if there is unconfessed sin in your life and unrepented of sin in your life, the wages of sin is death. Don't play with God. Get in these altars and seek God until you've got an experience with God that forgives you of your sins and delivers you from your sins. You cannot live in sin and go to heaven. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He sets up roadblocks in our way. He wants to turn you from the path that you're on and give to you everlasting life in place of everlasting damnation. One of the roadblocks that God puts in your way is the warnings of the Word of God. Brother, sometimes we take this Bible for granted, but God has given to us this Word of God to keep us out of hell. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. God has given to us a testimony. How would we know that there was such a place as hell? But God told us about it in the Word of God. How would we know that there was such a place as heaven? But God told us about it in the Word of God. How would we know that there was any salvation except that God told us about it in the Word of God? God has given to us the Bible. He's given to us the Word of God. If you go to hell, you push over the Word of God in order to go to hell. And then there is the love of God, which is expressed for you by what He did in giving His Son on Calvary. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God was willing to see His Son perish so you wouldn't have to perish. Do you hear me? Are you listening to me, young folks? I said God was willing to see His Son perish so that you wouldn't have to perish. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the love of God for us, expressed at Calvary when Jesus died in our place. And we wouldn't have to die eternally. If you go to hell, you'll go to hell over the love of God. I say if you go to hell, you will reject the love of God. And if you suffer the eternal punishment of hell, it'll be because you pushed aside God's attempt to love you into His kingdom. Thirdly, that roadblock that God puts in our way is the dealings of the Holy Ghost with our soul. The Bible tells Stephen, that first Christian martyr, preached to that crowd in the synagogue, and he said to them, "You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." You always resist the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is trying to get you to see that Jesus loves you. The Holy Ghost is trying to get you to see that you're lost and on your way to hell. The Holy Ghost comes to convince men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He comes to convince us that if we fail to believe on Jesus, there's an awful eternity waiting on us. Here's what conviction is, brother and sister. Conviction is a sudden awareness of the fact that I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell, and I'm going to perish eternally if I don't give my heart and life to Jesus. This is what conviction's all about. It's more than just a little emotional high that you get on, you know. Come to the altar and shed a few tears and feel better and go back to your sins. That's not what conviction is. Conviction is when you are afraid of your sins. You realize the poison of your sins. You understand the danger of your sins, and you get willing to turn loose of your sins. And that's what conviction is. The Holy Ghost comes to convince us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He comes to give to us a mind that says God would be just if He sent me to hell. But thank God, He also gives us an understanding that through Jesus Christ, we don't have to go to hell. We can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you resisting the Holy Ghost? There are people in this house right here this morning. I don't have any doubt you have been resisting the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has been dealing with you and pointing out your need. And you've pushed aside the dealings of the Holy Ghost. Brother, if there's anything that I want to see in this house, I want to see men and women, boys and girls, praying around these altars, shedding tears over their sins and getting right with God. And, oh my, we spent all of this labor and money on this building, not so we could just come in here and admire what the handiwork of our hands. And we built this building for souls to be saved and turned around and rescued from perishing. God wants to save souls in this house this very morning. I believe that the Son of God, who shed His blood on Calvary, is here today in this house, concerned about every soul in this place without Jesus. And He wants to save every one of you that don't know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. If you've deceived yourself, He wants to pull back the veil from your eyes and that you can see yourself as you really are. And get right with God. The most serious condition I know of in the world is to think you're saved and be on the way to hell at the same time. It's the most serious condition I can think of. And I'm telling you, God wants to pull back the veil from our eyes this morning. Let us see ourselves in the light of the Word of God and see that there is hope for us in the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus died so we wouldn't have to perish. Hallelujah. This was already working on me. Yesterday I went to the service at Danville and Brother Rich preached down there. Such a wonderful message on the Great Commission, and he told about how that God stirred his heart as a young man, gave him a vision one night. He said in his vision, he saw multitudes rushing toward a great precipice. He said on the other side of that precipice, there was a great fire. He could hear the crackling of the fire. He could see the souls rushing over the precipice into the fire. He said he saw himself standing in that multitude of souls rushing into the fire. He stood there crying out to that multitude, facing them, crying out to that multitude, saying, "Turn back, turn back. Don't go into the fire. Turn back." He said he was able to turn back a few, but he said most of them kept on rushing by, plunging into that abyss of fire behind him. He said all of a sudden he came to himself. His wife woke him up. He was against the wall, had his hands against the wall. He had gotten out of the bed, had his hands against the wall, shouting at those people, "Turn back, turn back, turn back." And he said God put a burden upon his heart for souls and that's never left him. Praise God. And I'm telling you, brother, God wants us to see how terrible it is to be lost and win souls to Jesus Christ. Somebody in this house this morning needs to give your heart to Jesus and get genuinely saved and born again of the Spirit of God. God wants to change your life. You may think Jesus will ruin your life, but I'm telling you, Jesus will bless you and give you abundant life like you've never had before. My dad was a man that carried a burden for souls all of his life. He died at 81 years of age. He told of a very similar vision that God gave him at the very beginning of his ministry, which he saw souls pouring off of a precipice into the abyss. And he was standing there crying, "Don't go, turn back." And he said God gave him a burden for souls through that vision. My dad carried that burden till he died. I'm telling you, for 50 years he carried that burden. And he would talk to you in his last days. He would talk to you about souls and tears would flow down his cheeks. And he'd weep over souls. I'm telling you, God wants you to understand that hell is a reality. And that Jesus died to save you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. This is the gospel, friend. This is the good news. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus has died so you could live. Hallelujah. I want Sister Judy to come to the piano this morning. It used to be that souls died with an awareness of where they were going. It used to be that men cried in their dying hours, "My feet are on fire. Somebody get me out of the flames." Sister Gail Myers testified about her father who died without Christ. She said he was trying to climb the wall screaming, "Somebody get my feet out of the fire." Now then, we've done our best to take the sting out of death, even for those who do not know Christ. So we fill them full of drugs. They face eternity out of their mind. Have no idea where they're going, where they're at, what's happening to them. Put Hollywood in front of them and entertain them right into eternity. I'm telling you, brother, just because we put people out of their minds and slip them into eternity when they don't even know what's going on does not diminish the reality of hell. Hell is still burning. The rich man is still there screaming. Souls who have left this life without Jesus, who left this life in a state of rebellion against God, they are there right now. Some of them have been there for thousands of years. There'll never be any relief because they rejected the Word of God. So I don't think it's that serious. I don't think that turning Jesus down is that serious. I don't think that looking at a little pornography is that serious. I don't think that, you know, taking a sip and getting a little woozy is that serious. I just don't believe it's that serious to cuss a little bit. I'm telling you, you may think what you want to think, but the Word of God's plain, brother. Sin merits hell. The wages of sin is death. It always has been. It always will be. There will never be a diminishing of the wages of sin. I'm telling you at the same time, there's a love burning in the heart of God. Hallelujah. A love burning in the heart of God for fallen men. Jesus is willing to save. Hallelujah. I want us to stand together this morning. If you're here without Christ, young folks, if you're here walking down that road of sin, you've rejected the offers of God to this point. Jesus wants to save you.